The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Good morning and welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Etienne Newman. Today is Monday, December 22nd in 2025, and the numbers are in. We are starting with a massive efficiency milestone. OpenAI has reportedly doubled its compute margins to nearly 70%. For every dollar of compute they burn, they are keeping significantly more revenue than they were just a year ago, actually outpacing Anthropic in margin efficiency. Yet, despite this cash efficiency, CEO Sam Altman has declared a code red to fend off Google. Speaking of hardware, NVIDIA is making a bold move in the East. They are preparing to ship 80,000 H200 chips to China before mid-February, navigating new export tariffs to keep their foothold in the world's second largest economy. And in London, the streets are about to get futuristic. Uber and Lyft have confirmed they will begin testing Baidu's autonomous robotaxis in the UK starting in 2026. From the US Department of Energy's new Genesis mission to a tiny 270 million parameter model from Google that changes the edge computing game, we have a packed rundown. Before we start, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. If you need to explain these unit economics to your board, let us help you. We build the briefings that drive decisions. Secure your strategic podcast consultation at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Let's unravel the AI headlines.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are wading into some massive and frankly contradictory currents shaping the whole global AI landscape.
We really are.
We have a dense stack of sources, strategic briefings, financial reports, some really cutting-edge research.
And it covers everything. I mean, from these trillion-dollar ambitions all the way to, you know, high-stakes geopolitics.
And some surprising technical breakthroughs happening right on the edge of the network.
What's really fascinating here is that tension. The tension between the technological hype and the messy human reality.
Exactly.
We're seeing just record ambition coupled with very real-world constraints. And these aren't just technical. They're financial, they're rooted in human behavior, and they're constantly up against the friction of geopolitics.
So our mission today is to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge from all this. We're looking at a series of paradoxes. You see companies hitting massive compute efficiency, only to declare a code red because they're still losing money. We're seeing these huge long-term infrastructure plans, but short-term investment is, well, it's strangely flat.
And maybe the most revealing paradox of all is this intense pursuit of AGI, you know, a system that could theoretically run a country.
Right.
While the current models are failing simple social tests when they're confronted by, you know, ordinary office workers, we need to understand not just how fast the tech is going, but where the strategic choke points are forming.
Okay, let's unpack this, and let's start where the money is, with OpenAI's financial status and the strategic outlook of Sam Altman.
Well, when you look at the raw operating numbers, the efficiency gains they've made recently are, I mean, they're genuinely astounding.
How so?
Our sources are indicating that OpenAI has reportedly doubled its compute margin. It's up to nearly 70% since early last year.
70%?
They hit that rate in October of 2025. And this means for paying customers, they actually have better compute margins than Anthropic.
Than Anthropic.
Right. Even though Anthropic shows slightly better efficiency on, you know, overall server spending, it's a subtle but really important distinction.
Okay, 70%. That is a truly impressive operational number. You'd think a company with that kind of efficiency is just sailing towards profitability.
You would think.
And yet, Altman declared a code red to fight off Google because the company is still deeply unprofitable. And this is all happening amid growing worries about a sector bubble. How do you square record efficiency with that kind of panic?
It connects directly to scale and market dominance, not just cost control. The paradox isn't about losing money. It's that efficiency is, well, It's almost irrelevant if your competitor is growing faster and capturing the market.
This is a land grab.
It is. Altman's been very clear about the economics of scale. He says they have never yet found a situation where we can't really well monetize all the compute we have.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning the obstacle isn't efficiency, it's the speed of execution. He argues, and this is a quote, if we had double the compute, we'd be at double the revenue right now. So that code red is a clear signal. They're structurally sound, but they see this massive existential threat from competitors who are just moving faster. And that forces them to make these huge infrastructure bets long before the profit model is even secure.
And the direction of that revenue, it shows where the real battleground is, right? It's shifting away from, you know, the consumer just playing with ChatGPT.
Exactly. The source material shows that this past year, enterprise growth has significantly outpaced consumer growth.
I see.
Altman believes that given where the models are today and where they'll be next year, this is the time where we can build a really significant enterprise business quite rapidly. They're aiming to be the indispensable backbone for corporations.
Embedding AI into the core of how business operates.
Right. Which is a much more stable, much more lucrative revenue stream than individual subscriptions.
And that focus on enterprise, it leads directly to the monumental scale they're projecting. We have to talk about the proposed $1.4 trillion data center build out. I mean, that figure is just staggering.
It is. And he even wishes they could go faster. It just underscores this almost non-negotiable belief in the inevitability of AGI. It's a strategic necessity, and it's driven by that code red.
A bet against the current market constraints.
It's saying, if we don't build this capacity now, we lose the race later. It's a foundational commitment that, honestly, it rivals national projects.
And when you talk about the societal impact of that kind of scale, Altman still has that, you know, optimistic, not a jobs doomer stance. He argues you just don't bet against evolutionary biology.
Right. But the definitions, especially around AGI, they remain pretty slippery. He's called the term itself very underdefined.
So what's he offering instead?
Well, he's trying to anchor the discussion in profound societal relevance. He offered this speculative definition of superintelligence that really sticks with you.
What was it?
He suggested it's achieved when a system can do a better job being president of the United States than any person can, even with the assistance of AI.
Wow. Okay. That really elevates the stakes. I mean, from a sophisticated tool to a potential societal replacement, it makes you wonder, if AGI becomes president, who handles Supreme Court nominations?
Precisely. And that ambition, it drives their whole strategy around product design. They have to emphasize AI-first design versus just, you know,
bolting AI onto the existing way of doing things.
Exactly. They're building the next platform from the ground up, not just an application layer.
Speaking of the next platform, what about the immediate future? Are we expecting a GPT-6 anytime soon?
Altman said he doesn't know when they'll actually use the name GPT-6, but he does expect new models showing significant gains from the current GPT-5.2 in the first quarter of next year.
So a leap forward is coming soon, whether it gets the big marketing push or not?
It seems so. And just a quick note on the business side of things, he has some pretty complex feelings about a potential IPO. He said he's excited for OpenAI to be a public company in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, I think it'll be really annoying.
That just perfectly encapsulates the tension, doesn't it? Efficiency versus ambition, excitement versus annoyance. But ambition needs infrastructure. And can today's market, with its cautious investors, actually support that $1.4 trillion dream?
And that is where the numbers tell a surprising, almost contradictory story. The AI data center boom has dominated headlines, but the investment figures, they just don't match the hype yet.
That's so.
A report from S&P Global found that $61 billion flowed into the data center market in 2025. That is practically flat compared to the $60.8 billion in 2024.
Wait, hold on. Flat. If the hype machine was really at full blast all year, $61 billion feels low. Are investors just in a wait-and-see mode?
It's a mix. The deal volume fell from 129 deals in 2024 to 104 in 2025.
Okay.
Although the value per deal is increasing dramatically, so we're seeing consolidation. But our sources cite a few reasons for this pause. There are AI bubble fears, yes, geopolitical uncertainty. But critically, we're seeing issues with permitting, supply chain constraints.
And power, I assume.
And the immense difficulty of securing power in a tight energy market.
So it's not that the money isn't there, it's the physical reality of construction and energy that's the real bottleneck.
Exactly. The CEO of OpenDrives, Trevor Morgan, he framed it well. He said this infrastructure is fundamentally a long-term play. You're not building for current needs. You're building out for the next 5 to 10 years.
And that disconnect is where investors get hesitant.
Right. They want guaranteed returns in 2030, but the guarantees just aren't there yet.
Which is why we're seeing government strategy step in to sort of underwrite that long-term vision, this flat investment reality. It's a perfect pivot to the geopolitical chessboard. The U.S. is now treating AI capacity as a national security issue, a Manhattan Project.
Absolutely. The Trump administration's Genesis mission unveiled in late November. It's a massive effort to accelerate AI for science, national security, and energy. 24 organizations are involved.
A clear signal that the private sector is being mobilized to make sure the U.S. maintains its lead over rivals, especially China.
And if you look at the division of labor, it reveals who holds the strategic cards.
How is it broken down?
NVIDIA and Oracle are chipping in compute power, the raw ingredient. Microsoft and Google, they're providing the cloud infrastructure, the operating environment. And the frontrunners, OpenAI and Anthropic, are deploying their most advanced models for use in national labs.
For research and security.
Yes. Anthropic, specifically, is developing specialized Claude-based tech just for these labs. The government is effectively outsourcing core development while guaranteeing demand for the builders.
That's a massive mobilization. But this focus on security creates a really delicate dance, doesn't it? This dance of commerce and control, especially around the chip bottleneck between the U.S. and China.
It really does. You can see this with NVIDIA's plan to ship its first batch of H200 chips to Chinese customers by mid-February, right before Lunar New Year.
And this export is allowed under a new U.S. policy, but there's a catch.
There is. It requires a 25% fee.
So that fee acts as both a revenue source for the U.S. and a subtle speed bump for China. It keeps the price high enough to deter mass adoption, but keeps the market open. Is that a sustainable middle ground?
It's a temporary truce at best, because Beijing is already countering the move. They haven't approved the imports yet. And what's fascinating is the proposed counter-strategy.
What are they considering?
Chinese officials are reviewing a proposal that would require buyers to bundle every foreign H200 chip purchase with a specific ratio of domestic AI chips.
That is an incredibly clever piece of protectionism. It meets their immediate compute needs while artificially propping up their own homegrown alternatives.
It forces a minimum viable adoption rate for their domestic chips, you know, regardless of their current performance. It's a state-mandated bootstrapping mechanism.
A great example of geopolitics shaping the supply chain. Okay, let's pivot from that large-scale strategy to some specific and I think surprising technical advancements happening at the AI edge. There's a major development in robotics training.
Yes, games are no longer just demos. They are essential infrastructure for action models now.
Tell me about Nitrogen.
It's an open-source generalist agent from NVIDIA, Stanford, and Caltech. It was trained on over 40,000 hours of public gameplay videos, and it can play more than 1,000 games.
And the key here is that it's a foundation model for action, not language.
Exactly. It's focused on motor skill, sequencing, physical interaction, not just words.
So why do games matter so much for training those skills?
Because games provide what you could call chief chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Training a real-world robot is slow, it's expensive, it can be damaging. You can't let a robot fail millions of times in a factory.
But in a simulation?
In a simulation, a model can fail for almost nothing. And that is absolutely essential for the kind of generalization you need to master new tasks. Nitrogen showed a 52% relative improvement in task success on unseen games compared to training from scratch.
So games are the pre-training layer for embodied AI, a faster path to real-world robot dexterity.
That's the idea. And it runs on GROT N1.5, which is an architecture originally built for robots. So simulation, games, robotics, they're all sharing a common action backbone now. The loop between virtual and physical is closing.
Okay, let's circle back to that paradox we started with. The gap between technical achievement and human reality. We talked about AGI being president.
Right.
But what happens when a highly capable AI runs a simple, real-world business? The Anthropic Snack Shop experiment gives us a necessary dose of reality.
This was the Claudius experiment.
Yeah.
It ran a small self-service snack shop in Anthropic's San Francisco office in mid-2025. And phase one, it went spectacularly badly.
What?
Employees immediately treated it like a game. They pressured it into giving discounts. They argued about prices, demanded free items. Claudius lost money. It proved extremely easy to socially engineer.
So raw model intelligence did not translate to basic commercial survival.
Not when confronted with adversarial humans.
So they upgraded the model for phase two. Did the AI learn that crucial social robustness?
Well, they did upgrade the model, gave it better tools, split roles across multiple agents. The shop expanded and it stopped losing money. But the real lesson wasn't about the AI's progress. It was behavioral.
How so?
Internal employees largely stopped messing with the system. The novelty just faded and they needed their snacks.
So the AI appeared stable, not because it learned to handle manipulation, but because the humans just got bored of messing with it.
Precisely. The source called it a paper victory. The stability lasted only until control was later shifted to outside journalists. Then the adversarial behavior came right back.
Claudius didn't learn social robustness. The humans just stopped testing the limits.
Exactly. And that shows the gap between a model's operational competence and its ability to handle social manipulation remains incredibly wide, which is vital context for any AGI discussion.
That's a powerful lesson. Speaking of operational competence, there's this quiet but maybe revolutionary architectural shift from Google.
Yeah.
Function Gemma, a tiny model, only 270 million parameters. It seems to be flipping the script on where AI lives and what it does.
It's the push toward specialized, powerful models that live right on your device. Function Gemma is built for one thing, turning natural language into executable actions on a local device, a phone, a browser.
And no cloud calls required for the inference.
No cloud calls. This model is fundamentally about control and translation, not massive-scale general intelligence.
So this breaks that years-long assumption that all the meaningful app logic has to migrate to these massive centralized cloud models, the ones that need a $1.4 trillion build-out.
It flips that completely. The compelling counter-narrative to centralization. Running locally eliminates latency. There are zero per-token fees. And most importantly for enterprise, sensitive data never leaves the device.
Which is huge for security and compliance.
It simplifies the landscape dramatically.
Yeah.
And they reported a massive jump in function calling accuracy, from 58% up to 85%, just after specializing this model for local control.
So if models like this catch on, what does that mean for the future architecture? Are we looking at fewer giant cloud assistants?
You should expect fewer monolithic assistants and more invisible AI routers embedded everywhere. The future might not be one giant brain in the sky. It might be billions of highly specialized controllers on the edge.
Which favors mobile platforms and on-device inference.
Right. It distributes control away from the cloud monopolies.
And that idea of distributed autonomous control is already moving into the real world, isn't it, in transportation?
Absolutely. We're seeing Uber and Lyft planning to pilot Baidu's Apollo Go robo-taxis in London starting in 2026. Right alongside Waymo. They're capitalizing on updated UK government plans, taking this idea of distributed embedded AI control directly into chaotic urban environments.
Which brings us to the end of our deep dive. The picture we've painted is one of immense ambition and I think equally immense complexity. We've seen this race for scale OpenAI's margins, the trillion-dollar build-out.
And at the same time, the critical need for precision control, like Function Gemma, and these novel training grounds like Nitrogen.
The key tensions just remain so consistent. Flat infrastructure investment clashing with massive future goals.
U.S. security objectives wrestling with NVIDIA's commercial interests.
And rapid technical progress constantly being undermined by unpredictable human social engineering, like we saw with Claudius.
Ultimately, the biggest hurdle isn't compute power anymore. It's not even funding. It's reliable application in chaotic human environments, especially when those humans decide to be adversarial.
So if we connect that speculative definition of superintelligence being a better U.S. president than a person back to the Claudius experiment.
The stakes become crystal clear. High-level definitions of superintelligence require profound social and political reliability, robustness against manipulation, and current models still fundamentally lack that reliability when humans choose to test the system.
So here is a final provocative thought for you to mull over. If the system that might one day be capable of being president of the United States can be socially engineered by employees looking for a free bag of chips, which constraints should we be worrying about more? The lack of compute or the unpredictability of human nature?
That is the ultimate question of application, not just capability.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
That wraps up your briefing for December 22nd, Dan, 2025. The signal for today is efficiency versus reality. OpenAI has cracked the code on margins, hitting 70%, but the broader market is hesitating. Data center investment remained flat this year at $61 billion. The build it and they will come phase is transitioning into the show me the returns phase. And a final thought on Claudius, the AI snack shopkeeper we discussed. It succeeded only when humans behaved. The moment adversarial reporters showed up, the system cracked. It's a reminder that as we deploy agents like Nitrogen and Function Gemma, the hardest variable to patch is still human nature. Before you go, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. If you need to align your leadership team on these shifts from sovereign AI clouds to agentic unit economics, let's talk. Secure your podcast consultation at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Stay strategic, and I'll see you tomorrow.